It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Tuesday, July 5th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Republican leader for Delta County resigned during an investigation into racist pictures she liked on her Facebook page. There were also allegations that Linda Sorensen endorsed a GOP primary candidate, a violation of party rules. The Delta County Republican Central Committee held four meetings to discuss the racist picture. The Daily Sentinel reports Sorensen resigned before their fifth and final meeting. Search and rescue teams have been busy in Hinsdale County. Keith Chambers is the director of the county's search and rescue organization. He said last week kept them on their toes.
This last week, we've had several rescue missions, everything from overdue parties to hikers falling off of Wetterhorn Peak to injured people up in the Wiminouche Wilderness. It has been a busy week for June.
He says the unseasonably warm temperatures could have brought more hikers and adventurers out into the wilderness, but the nature of the job is unpredictable.
You know, we may go 10, 12 days without any kind of a call, and then all of a sudden have three calls within 8 hours.
He says time is of the essence in those situations, and anyone heading out into the wilderness areas should leave a plan behind with someone else. $2.5 million was awarded to the family of a Palisade High Schooler who was shot while hunting last fall. Justin Burns was hunting with his father when he was shot by Guy Poto, a Minnesota man now serving a 5-year sentence for felony manslaughter. The Daily Sentinel reports that the family will likely never see that money, but the total will underscore the severity of the crime and the outrageous recklessness. The energy that lights up, turns on, and cools and heats our lives leaves a trail of waste, some of it radioactive. The natural gas industry produces thousands of tons of so-called hot waste each year. In Colorado, there's only one facility designed to handle hot waste, the Clean Harbors Deer Trail Landfill, about 70 miles east of Denver. That's where waste from oil fields in the Bakken and from other states is dumped. But Colorado has no formal regulations to deal with fracking's radioactive leftovers, only recommendations. That's true for many other states. Our story today comes from the Ohio River Valley and the Marullas Shale Gas region, where producers struggle to find safe and cheap ways to get rid of the waste. Glynis Board reports from the Ohio Valley Resource.
Last August, a convoy of trucks traveled from northern West Virginia to Irvin, Kentucky, a small town near the Kentucky River where Appalachian hills give way to rolling farm country.
This is roots for us. We've owned it, I guess, since the 1800s.
Vivian Smith and her husband, Denny, live next to a high school and across the road from a landfill. That landfill is under investigation by state agencies for accepting tons of radioactive oil and gas waste.
We are getting older. We're in our 70s, and we feel like we are kind of vulnerable, you know, to illnesses with the things going on up here at the landfill.
The question on everyone's mind, how did this happen? A report from the Center for Public Integrity calls this radioactive waste orphaned because no one government agency is fully managing it. It's exempt from federal disposal laws, so each state really has to figure out its own plan. Ohio, for example, hasn't formalized waste rules. New York, which banned fracking, does allow disposal of the waste, but with little oversight, according to the center. And state agencies aren't the only ones struggling. Industry is, too.
So we're at the entrance on the lease road going into our Charlene pad.
Tom Waltz is a petroleum engineer who works for Antero Resources, the eighth largest gas drilling company in the U.S.
So what you're seeing right off the bat here, 8 large green tanks. They would hold our produced water that the producing wells will make once they go online.
Produced water is one form of drilling waste, which brings radioactive materials naturally found deep in the earth to the surface. Antero has to dispose of hundreds of thousands of barrels of this stuff. The easiest way to get rid of it is to inject it back into the ground, but that can lead to pollution and earthquakes. So processing the water is becoming more attractive. Antero is spending millions to construct a facility to do just that. It'll reduce volumes of wastewater, which is good, but also leave concentrated low-level radioactive solids behind. At its peak, this facility will create 180 tons of this sludge every day. Antero civil engineer Conrad Bastin says it'll be shipped off-site for disposal.
Given some of the flux in the regulatory environment with regard to those sludges, we've elected to take all that sludge to a landfill that's currently licensed to accept it.
Bastin can't tell me which facilities or where. West Virginia's Department of Environmental Protection says no approved facilities exist in the state, so the waste will have to cross state lines. Records filed with the West Virginia Bureau for Public Health show that last summer, a company that Antero contracted produced the 400 tons of waste that ended up in the landfill in Irvine, Kentucky, across the road from Vivian Smith.
Knowing that they did not watch and there was nothing going on to protect us, I think it's like the hen house was not guarded and the fox got in.
This waste is not as dangerous as nuclear waste, but it's potentially cancer-causing if ingested. So dust is dangerous, and it would be really bad if it got into groundwater. Officials from the landfill itself said they couldn't comment while under investigation, an investigation the Smiths hope will shed some light on the risks they may now have to live with. For Inside Energy, I'm Glynis Board of the Ohio Valley Resource.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.